All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Guru. All glories to Sri Prabhupada. And not only Shiva Daya, Krishna Shaya, Vijay, Shimati Bhakti, Hanta Swami, Hanta Swami. Namaste, Saraswati, Devi, Guru, Vijay, 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 Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. November 9, 2011 at New Coverdon, Australia. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5. Chapter 2, The Activities of Maharaj Ajneetra, Text 14. Yasam prayakara saro jahata patango. Dikshu ramam brahmata e ajayate kshinime. Muktam nate smarasi vaktra jatavarutam. Kasto nilo harati lampata eshanivin. Yaha. Which? Asau. That. Twaya. By you. Kara Saroja. With the lotus palm. Pataha. Struck. Patangaha. The ball. Dikshu. In all directions. Raman. Moving. Ramataha. Restless. Ajayate, disturbs, Akshini, eyes, me, of me, Muktam, scattered, na, not, te, your, Smadasi, are you mindful of, Vakcha, curling, Jata, of hair, Varutam, bunches, Kashtaha, giving trouble, Anilaha, wind, Hadati, takes away, Lampataha, like a man attached to women, Eshaha, this, Nivin, lower garment. So this is Maharaj Ajneetra still talking to Purvachichi. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My mind is already restless, and by playing with a ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? Purport. The girl Purvachichi was playing with a ball in her hand, and the ball seemed like nothing but another lotus flower captured by her lotus-like palm. Because of her movements, her hair was loose, and the belt holding her cloth was giving way, as if the cunning wind were trying to make her naked. Yet she paid no attention to arranging her hair or fixing her dress. As Ajneetra tried to see the girl's naked beauty, his eyes were very agitated by her movements. Yosam Twayam Karasaro Jahata Patango. Dikshu Brahman, Brahmata Ajayate Kshinune, Muktam Nate Swarasivakra Jatavarutam, Kasto Nilo Harati Lampata Eshnege. My mind is already restless, and by playing with the ball, moving it all about with your lotus-like palm, you are also agitating my eyes. Your curling black hair is now scattered, but you are not attentive to arranging it. Are you not going to arrange it? Like a man attached to women, the most cunning wind is trying to take off your lower garment. Are you not mindful of it? So here, Agnidra, he's a devotee, and this girl, Purvatiji, is also a devotee. She's a very elevated devotee, actually. Being a direct worshipper of Lord Brahma. And she's come here at the request and desire of Agnidra to marry. And Agnidra was in a mood as a brahmacharya where he didn't even recognize that women existed. He was in such a state of devotional service that he wasn't even aware. So Lord Brahma arranged that this girl, Purvachiti, would act in such a way that he would become disturbed enough in order to achieve his purpose, which is rather interesting. So that was her. That was actually her service. And of course, upon completing her service, she returns to Lord Brahma. It's interesting that in the previous verse, Agnidra is really remembering Lord Vishnu by looking at this girl, Purvachiti. He's seeing her as a Vaishnavi. He's saying, oh, by eating the prasadam, you smell, by eating Vishnu's prasadam, you smell just like Lord Vishnu. Your eyes and your makara earrings remind me of Lord Vishnu. You must be an expansion of Vishnu. But then in this verse, he's seeing her differently. He's seeing her, finally he's seeing her as a woman. Until this point, he hadn't even seen her as a woman. And he's feeling disturbed, and so he's going to ask her to marry him. So I was thinking about how our consciousness and our desires affects what we see and how we see it. You know, the very same thing will appear differently to different people. I mean, of course, even different species. You know, we see rubbish and trash and we become disgusted, and the hog sees it and thinks that it's food. Or even, you know, we drive past the McDonald's and we become sad and revolted. And other people think, oh, here's something nice to eat. So depending on the modes of nature and depending on your desires, you perceive things differently. It's not that there's some sort of objective reality that each of us are seeing the same. It's not a fact. You know, we often think in our lives that, well, such and such is happening to me. It's just a fact. And therefore, my response to it has to be like this. I've lost my money. I must be upset. You know, my wife's not getting along with me. I must be worried. Or I just got a new car. I must be happy. Of course, that's how I'm going to react. But no. Bhagavad Gita starts out with saying that what you have to change is your consciousness. You have to change your perception of reality, your interpretation of reality. When Mahaprabhu showed his form as Radha and Krishna to Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy says, oh, you're Krishna, then Mahaprabhu says, no, I'm not Krishna. The devotee sees Krishna everywhere. Sees everything as related to Krishna. And Krishna does Taviraj quotes, or Prabhupada quotes in the purport, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilojanena Santa Sadaiva Ridayeshu Vilopayanti Yam Shaima Sundarama Chincha Gunaswarupam Govinda Madhipurushamitam Maham Bhajami. The devotee sees everything in relation to Krishna. As we said, Agnidra did this in the previous verse. This verse he sort of deviated from that. But we can think of, here even about Purvachiti. She's got a kara saroja. Kara means hand. Tava kara kamala, right? You say? But anyway, we talk about the kara of Krishna's hand. Saroja, ja means birth. The lotus flower is born from the water. So she's got a hand that looks like a lotus born from the water. So who has a lotus hand? Krishna. I'm sure Purvachiti is very beautiful, but nothing compared to Krishna. With his lotus hand. And Krishna also gets this scattered, curling hair. In fact, that's what we're chanting now in the Dhammadarastaka. Idam tem kambojam atantanilar vrittam kundalaya. It's this curling, scattered hair. And of course, when Krishna is very young, and it's before his hair is cut, it's compared to the feathers of a crow. Right? It's around like black crow feathers that are around his hair. And I'm remembering a conversation which Srila Prabhupada had with some devotees in Bengal where he said, the Bengali women are very beautiful, with their black eyes, their very dark eyes, and their dark hair. And when the devotee said, Krishna also has dark hair, the Prabhupada said, oh, you're talking of sense gratification, and you remember Krishna very nice. So this should be actually the mood of the devotee. Everything should remind them of Krishna. Here, Nidra is talking about the Lampataha. He's comparing the wind to a Lampataha. In what verse do we talk about a Lampataha? In the Shikshastakam. We go, Krishna's the Lampataha. He's always running after, you know, Radharani saying, even if you run after another gopi, even if you're a Lampataha, running after this gopi, that gopi, still I love you. You know, in the material world, if a woman loves a man like that, she's a fool. There are some women who love men like that. Right, isn't there? There are women who agree to be the mistress of some married man or the girlfriend of some movie star who has 20,000 women. And we think of such women as fools. Why are you in love with some man who's not going to take care of you? Who's just you're just somebody who's ticking up on his conquest list so he can go to the newspapers and say how many women he's conquered. We say, what a fool. But that is ultimate love, for it is for Krishna. And that is the ultimate love of Srimati Radharani and the gopis for Krishna. That Krishna doesn't have to do anything for them. Krishna doesn't maintain them. They can't even show Krishna off as their boyfriend. You know, usually you have a husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, you want to show them off. What a beautiful girl I have, what a handsome man I have. And they can't even do that. And even if he gives them presents, he can't give them very many presents. If he gives them presents, they can't show them off either. I explained in the Nectar Devotion how one time Radharani was wearing a necklace that Krishna gave her, and somebody noticed, Krishna, she was embarrassed. But what does Krishna do for them? He doesn't provide them with a home or children or furniture or, you know, anything. And not only that, he's got so many gopis. And still they love him. And their mood is, whatever you want to do, that's all right. So in this world, that's a very foolish kind of love, but that is the ultimate love. So we can think, you know, he's thinking this wind is acting like a Lampataha. Immediately we can think, oh, Krishna, he's a Lampataha. The rascal, lover of the gopis. And Prabhupada once wrote this letter, I think it was to Garga Muni, and he said, if you find yourself disturbed by the attractive young women in the temple, you can just think, well, they're all Krishna's gopis. They're all meant for Krishna's enjoyment. Prabhupada wrote that. That everything, Ayendra also wrote that. He said, you know, if you see some woman, you can think, well, they represent my mother, Srimati Radharani. So one can get this vision of seeing everything in relationship to Krishna. How we interpret things, how we react to things, is our choice. We are not, although it appears so, we are not forced by circumstances to react in a certain way. It's not that if a man sees a beautiful woman that he has to become lusty. She can remind him of Krishna. That's possible. It's not that if one gets a lot of money, one has to become bewildered. One can think, actually, this money is a manifestation of Srimati Radharani, a manifestation of Lakshmi Devi, to be used in Krishna's service. Even the difficult things in our life we can see as manifestations of Krishna. Just like Maharaj Parikit, when the Brahmin boy cursed him, it said that he saw that Krishna had taken the form of the curse. Sometimes the Vrijvasis say when somebody dies, oh, they got Radharani's letter. Also, one can even see like that. You go to the doctor and he said, sorry, you've got cancer, you've got 1 week to live. I know one devotee in London like that. He was fine, and then he started feeling a little tired. He went to the doctor. The doctor says, 1-2 weeks at most. He died 9 days later. But you can see that's Krishna. Just like you get an invitation in the mail. Remember when I actually moved in the ashram to stay? Not the first time I stayed, but when I moved in to stay, I had come home from school. I'd already quit school, quit university, to move in the ashram. But when I went home, I was kind of wavering, because my mother was telling me things, and my friends were telling me, maybe you should wait, do this, do that, you can always join the temple later. And I was, you know, I came home on a Thursday, and by Friday I was a little shaky, and on Saturday in the mail I got this invitation. We're going to install the deities of Kishore Kishori the next day at 3 in the afternoon. And I was sitting at the table, and I thought, Krishna's saying, you better come right now. You know, come right now, and you'll know what's going to happen. And I looked at my parents, I said, I'm going tomorrow. And my dad said, okay, I'll buy you a round-trip ticket in case you change your mind and want to come home. But the bad things in life, they're often a letter from Krishna. You know, they're often an invitation. Frankly, they're often an invitation to move up to the next step. In Bhakti Loka, when Bhakti Vinod Thakur describes Niyamagraha, Bhakti Loka, Bhakti Vinod Thakur expands on the second and third verse of the Upadeshamrita. And he describes each of the items that are favorable and unfavorable for bhakti, and he describes them in terms of the grihasthas and the renunciates. And there, speaking about Niyamagraha, he says that at different stages of advancement, there's different rules. And if you go too slowly or too fast, you'll trip, like on steps. If you walk too slowly or too fast, you may trip. And he says the rules that apply at one level become an impediment on the next level. And sometimes when it's time to move up, Krishna gives us a push or a pull. And just like you're doing with your daughter, right? Is that a little girl?
Yes.
So just like you were taking her and holding her hands and helping her walk, right? And she was enjoying it. She's thinking, oh, my mommy is helping me. And naturally, the mother, you want your child to advance. Right now, the little girl, she's just crawling, and she can stand up for a few moments, and then she falls down. And so the mother knows, oh, the next step is walking. So she's assisting her to walk. So Krishna is also doing that with us. He notices as we're advancing, he says, okay, what's the next step? All right, let me help you. Let me help you. And sometimes that help may appear to us as something good, and sometimes it may appear to us materially as something bad. Because it's a pulling up to the next step, and it may be pushing. Also, because Bhakti Vinod says, if you're attached to the rules of the previous step, said it acts like chains around your feet. So sometimes in order to help us get where we want to go, I'm saying to Krishna, Krishna, I want Krishna Prema. I want to be a pure devotee. I want to go to Goloka Vrindavan. You may say, okay, we got to cut this chain and this chain. No, I like that chain. What a pretty chain. It was my grandmother's trunk. And I love it. No, he says, no, sorry. If you want to go up, that one's got to be cut. So the devotee sees everything, sees the sunset and the sunrise, look at the combination of the red and blue like Krishna's lotus hands, Krishna's lotus feet. There's something beautiful in the world. This verse so much reminds us of Krishna, isn't it? Krishna with his lotus-like palm, Krishna with his scattered hair, Krishna with his mind-enchanting beauty. Our minds become enchanted by ordinary beauty in this world. I was once at an airport where there was a young woman who was so beautiful, the most beautiful person I've ever seen. And everyone who walked past, man, woman, child, everyone was just... You know, you could see she caused car accidents on the street. I'm sure now, because that was many years ago, she's not causing any more car accidents. But we become so enchanted by a beautiful person in this world. And Purvachiti, she's from Lord Brahma's planet. It's as high as you can go. Her beauty is incomprehensible. I mean, even the beauty of somebody in Swarga, we can't even imagine. Krishna's mercy, we don't have any of those people walking around. Or, you know, none of us would make it. Right? Now think about these yogis who get distracted by these heavenly damsels. You know, and I can get distracted by gossip. I forget Krishna when I speak of some beautiful person. You know, Haridas Thakur, he saw the most beautiful woman, Mayadevi, herself. Mayadevi came in front of him. And like this girl, Purvachiti, she was trying to enchant him. You know, I only need a little bit of Maya to come in front of me. I don't need all of Maya. And I'm finished. Right, Krishna? Where's Krishna? Who's Krishna? Oh yeah, Krishna. You know, but Haridas Thakur just looked at Mayadevi and said, why don't you sit down and chant? So how attractive poor Vegeta is. I mean, again, we all know, each of us are attracted to different kinds of Maya. Some of us are attracted to a beautiful man, beautiful woman. Some of us are attracted to money. Some of us to power and position. Some of us to control. Some of us just to a nice hot meal, whatever it is. Some of us to philosophical debate. That's my Maya. So one of mine, anyway. So we all have our ways that we can become allured by the material energy. But ultimately, the attractiveness of the material energy is just a tiny fraction. What does Krishna say to Arjuna? All of the whole universe. You put all of it together, all the most beautiful, glorious, mighty, wonderful things. It's just a speck of my actual beauty. So when we feel ourselves attracted to Krishna's energy, we can immediately think, how much more attractive is Krishna? This is the prayers of the great devotees. They say, just like a young boy is attracted to a young girl, just like that, may I be attracted to you. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, all the attachment I feel for the things in this world, let me feel that degree of attachment. When we feel our heart and mind going to something in the world, we can just think, Krishna, if only I loved you as much as I love whatever, my new iPhone or this piece of carrot cake or whatever it is. That was good carrot cake. But if we think, Krishna, if only I loved you as much as I love this thing. Because Prabhupada said, we already know what attachment is. None of us have to be taught. Let's have a class. How do you become attached? We all know how to do that. We do it all the time. We can become attached to our shoes, for goodness sake. When they were cleaning out there yesterday, they were blowing the dirt, and they blew my shoes away. I was like, my shoes! Just a piece of plastic. So we know what attention is. When the residents of Vrindavan saw Krishna in the coils of Kaliya, they were devastated because they thought we've invested everything in Krishna. Like when the market, crashed in 2008, if you had everything invested in the market, you fainted. So the residents of Vrindavan, they invested everything in Krishna, so they fainted. So whatever we see that's beautiful, wondrous, splendorous, enchanting, should remind us of Krishna. Whatever wonderful things happen in our life, we see this is Krishna helping me. Whatever terrible things happen in our life, Krishna's cutting the chain so I can go forward. Somehow or other to see everything in relationship to Krishna. Somehow or other. Because everything is in relationship to Krishna. And Maya means, what does Krishna say Maya means? Whatever appears to be of value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. And Prabhupada says in Krishna book, in relation to Lord Brahma's prayers, Maya only exists within the mind. That's all. So our whole process is changing our consciousness. Instead of seeing illusion, instead of seeing this is separate from Krishna, how is it related to Krishna? How is this person related to Krishna? How does this person remind me of Krishna? How does this thing remind me of Krishna? That's easy. Everything is Krishna. Solids, liquids, gases, the sunlight, the warmth of the sun, the air we breathe, the prana in our body, our digestive fire, our ability to think, our ability to speak, our ability to relate to others. It all is Krishna. So that is what we are meant to do. And then we will always be happy. Prabhupada also says in Krishna book, I think it's in the story of Rakasura, he says the materialists see everything as very, what does he say? Aggressive, I believe is the word he uses. But for the devotees, everything is happily situated. So for the non-devotees, there's a dog-eat-dog world with competition and enemies and troubles and problems. And for the devotees, it's all. So Krishna, here's my beloved Lord. And if we see everything in that way and our heart becomes attached to Krishna, then there's no more difficulties in life, no matter what we are experiencing. So I'm sorry about the time. I didn't even get to read the verse until it was time to end the class. I don't have a whole lot of time now. Any questions or comments? Or yes?
If Krishna reveals himself to us as we advance, So then if you're not very advanced, then you would have a limited perception of Krishna. So if you want to meditate on Krishna, then you really only have that limited perception, and then so you're limiting Krishna. So, and then in a sense your meditation could be false. Like if I want to meditate on the beauty of Krishna, the beauty is inconceivable to me. So how do I meditate on that?
It's a true story I read not too long ago about this woman who got struck with a muscle wasting disease and nerve disease and became pretty much completely paralyzed. I mean completely, not just arms and legs, everything. She couldn't move, she couldn't do anything, nothing. So she was lying in bed, she was still thinking, she couldn't even basically speak. And she was praying, "Dear Lord, what is the use of my life? I can't do anything, completely useless." And then she like heard a voice, super soul in the heart, saying, "Use the health you have." And she starts arguing with God and says, "Well, I don't have any health." "Use the health you have." "I can't do anything." "Use the health you have." She said, "Well, what can I do?" She thought, "Well, I can slightly move the little finger on my left hand." That was all she could do. So she started doing that. And pretty soon she got a set of signals between her and her family members just by moving her little finger. And pretty soon she could communicate to a small extent with them. And as she did that, do you know what happened? She gradually became cured over a period of time. I think it took about 10 years. And sometimes there were relapses, and sometimes she went backwards. But after a while, she became completely well. So this is actually what we're supposed to do. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains how our selfishness and our attachment to Krishna change proportionally as we advance. So when we start off, our selfishness is all the way up here. Of course, we don't think so when we start off. When we're new devotees, those of us who joined, not those of you who were born in the movement, this doesn't seem to happen to those people who were born in Krishna consciousness, but those of us who joined, when we start out, we believe that we're pure devotees. Almost. You know, we have this kind of false confidence. But actually, in the beginning, our selfishness is up here. And our attachment to Krishna is a tiny trace. And as we progress, it starts going like this. Our selfishness goes down, and our attachment to Krishna goes up. And it looks like that at Nishta, which is the tipping point in Krishna consciousness, it looks like our attachment to Krishna is about 40%, although from Madhurya Kadambini, although one place Prabhupada describes it as 50%, another place he describes it as 70%. At that stage of Nishta, one is liberated, by the way. That's the Brahma-Buddha stage. Brahma-Buddha prasannat manasojitini kanchati. You're not 100% pure. You're still contaminated. And even at the level of ruchi and ashakti, you're still not 100% pure, and that's the level at which you can start getting transcendental television in your heart. But it's still on a material platform until Bhava. So Prabhupada says it's gradually and proportionally. Another way you can think of it is like this. Let's say you have your hands full of plastic pearls, okay? So what our pride, and here's a pile of real pearls. So what we're doing, we're getting, our hands are full, I don't have any space for the real pearls. So I'm getting rid of the plastic pearls and I'm putting in real pearls. And pretty soon, we're going to get to a point that's like half real. That's Nishta. Okay, but until I actually see Krishna face to face, not even prema, until Krishna touches me, there's still going to be something. In fact, you can even take birth where Krishna is as one of the gopis and still have some remaining something. Right? Some of those gopis, they weren't quite finished. And so they were prevented from leaving and they were meditating on Krishna. You remember Krishna? Okay, so even then there may be some touch. So if you think, well, I can't meditate on Krishna until I'm completely pure. First I have to be completely pure and then I can meditate on Krishna, because otherwise my meditation on Krishna will be mixed with material conceptions. This was actually Arjuna's question in the beginning of the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna says, what path is better? What Arjuna is asking there is, what's better, Krishna, to start bhakti immediately or first to become totally purified of the self and attain to no material desires and then to worship you? So Krishna explains very clearly. He says it's much better to start with bhakti. than to first try to become purified and then meditate on me. So in 12.8, Krishna says, just meditate on me with love. In 12.9, he says, practice meditating on me, Abhyas Yoga. Abhyas Yoga means like the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where it says, wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, withdraw it and pull it back on the self. Now, how do you even have the qualifications to try to do that, to control your mind? Okay, so then he goes to 12.10. 12.10 says, do the external activities of bhakti. If you do the external activities of bhakti, you'll eventually be able to practice fixing your mind on me, at which case you'll be able to love me. And someone says, well, I don't want to do the external activities of bhakti. He says, okay, there's another long, slow process, which Prabhupada explains in 11.55 and also in 12.20. What do you do first? You practice vanyashrama as a pious person. Through the accumulation of piety, you then perform karma yoga, where karma pala tyaga, you give up the fruits of your action, you work as a sacrifice. As we were saying yesterday, instead of serving your husband to please your husband, you serve your husband as a jagya to please Vishnu. So you're doing the same things, but you're yagyartar kamanona chalubhya prabhupada. Then by giving up the fruits of your work, you cultivate jnana, you cultivate knowledge. Oh, I'm not this body, there's a God. Then you can engage in jnana, then you can engage in meditation. Because by karmapala tyaga, by giving up the fruits of your work, you've attained shanti. You've attained peacefulness, you've given up material fear. Then you can meditate on the Lord. Then from that platform, you can go to Abhyas Yoga. You can fix your mind actually on Krishna. But that's a long, slow path. Doesn't work very well even in Arjuna's time, and it certainly doesn't work very well now. So our process is not, first I get rid of all the trash, and then I can think of Krishna in total reality. That is not our process. It's a risky process. It takes a very, very long time. Good chance to fall down. And it actually changes your consciousness, so it's harder to think about Krishna. Prabhupada explains this in the 4.4 to 12.5. Because in order to first become purified without thinking of Krishna, so that you can then think of Krishna purely, you have to stop your desires and stop your thoughts, which is unnatural. And then when it comes time to think about Krishna, you become accustomed to thinking of nothing, and it's very difficult. Like one of my nephews was trained in a Jewish brahmachari ashram, and they weren't allowed to talk to the women or look at the women. And finally he went to the rabbi and said, I'm ready to marry. And the rabbi said, I'm going to introduce you to a nice girl, but you have to look at her. So for one who goes through that long, slow process, everything's my, everything's my, everything's my, everything's my. I don't look, I don't think, I don't feel, I don't anything. And then there's Krishna. No, I can't look at Krishna anymore either. So it's risky. It's risky. So our bhakti process is from the very beginning, from the very beginning, from the very beginning, the very beginning. We are going out on the street and distributing Krishna. That's amazing. Just that we go out on the street and chant Hare Krishna is amazing. You know what this Hare Krishna mantra is? It's a yugala mantra of Radha and Krishna. It's the mantra of conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. That's what it is. We're giving it out to everybody. We don't always tell them what it means, but that's what we're doing. Yeah, to some meteor on the street, we're giving Krishna book. Now, there is one disciple of Prabhupada who started his own movement, and his preaching is, until you're pure, you don't chant Hare Krishna. That's not our philosophy. Our philosophy is Yam Krodha Kama Sahaja Panayana Kiti Vatsalya Mahamudra Purva Sevya Bhakti Sanchin Chitasam Sadhusimha Tadma Purite. You think of Krishna in lust. You think of Krishna in anger. You think of Krishna in envy. It doesn't matter. Please think of Krishna. Please think of Krishna. Please think of Krishna. Yes, my thought of you is contaminated. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That little girl, is the mother saying, oh, you can't walk perfectly yet. Forget it. Half a step, the mother's so excited. Oh, you took half a step? That's how Krishna feels. Think about him a little bit. Of course it's all contaminated in the beginning. He knows that. Of course it is. In the beginning, our thinking of Krishna is 99% contaminated, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So what? Even at liberation, it's 50% contaminated. It doesn't matter. Krishna himself purifies. Actually, worry so much about getting rid of our material desires and getting rid of our narratives and how contaminated we are. We really don't need to worry much about that at all. Just get in the sunshine and all the darkness goes away. Just get yourself in the sun as much as you can, as much as you can. Don't worry that it's contaminated. Don't worry, I'm not advanced enough. I'm not advanced enough to think about Krishna. How silly that will sound to Krishna. You know what you're saying? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Krishna says, yes? No, no, I'm not advanced enough, go away. Poor guy. Imagine how he must feel. I knew one devotee who told me that very, very, very serious devotee. I don't mean like a devotee, but very solid bhakti creature, just everything, first class. She said, I'm really disturbed because one sannyasi came here recently and said we shouldn't think about Krishna when we chant Hare Krishna. I said, well, it's kind of funny. Krishna says, man mana bhava man bhakto. He doesn't say, always think of me except when you chant my name. Okay, Krishna, I've been thinking about you all day, drop a time, go. And she said, since I've been following his advice, I'm so distressed at my japa time. And I said, well, what was your japa time like before? She said, as soon as I would chant Hare Krishna, immediately I would get visions of Krishna and Balaram running through the fields of Vrindavan. I said, how long have you been chanting 16 now? And she said, 15 years. And I said, you're really strict with the regular principles. She said, yeah. I said, do you watch TV or movies or no? I said, you know, what do you eat? She said, I only eat food cooked by devotees, offered to Krishna. And I spend all my time, you know, she's a little boy and her husband, so I take care of my family and I'm preaching. And I said, come in and think about Krishna Balaram. What's the problem? But sometimes Krishna shows up even to a materialist. Happens. No, I mean, so to whatever extent Krishna manifests, if you want Krishna to manifest more, then what should you do when he manifests a little? Push him away or welcome him in. He's a person. If someone asks to have a relationship with me, which is what we're doing when we chant Hare Krishna, if someone asks to have a relationship with me, I usually test it a little first, usually. I've met a few people in my life that I can immediately establish a friendship with. Like my god sister Datre, I met her in Hawaii a little while ago and I just said, can I be your friend? She said, I was thinking the same thing. But usually, it's some time, right? So usually when I first meet someone, if they want, I reveal a little bit of my personality and I see how they react. Do they like me or not? And if they like me, then I'll be more open with them. And if they like me, I'll be more open with them. Until finally, I'm just authentically me. But if I show a little bit, this happens actually sometimes, especially with people from high hierarchical cultures, which is not Australia, by the way. Australia and the United States are the lowest cultures in the world in terms of having class distinctions. Of course, we have class distinctions, but we pretend we don't. It's bad form in America and Australia to pretend you have class, you kind of ignore it. Everybody's equal. But certain cultures in the world, they have many ways of saying the word you. How you say the word you indicates your rank with that person. It used to be Korean Airlines had the worst airline crash record in the world because if the second in command saw that the pilot was making a mistake, he had to just hint about it because you just couldn't give an instruction to your superior. Yeah, you just couldn't do it. So I'd say, you know, in this kind of weather, sometimes it's nice to check the instrument on the left side. And they analyzed the cockpit recordings to figure out why they were getting so many accidents. You know how they finally stopped having accidents in Korean Airlines? They brought somebody in who said all the pilots have to learn English. Because in English there's none of this hierarchical talk. And the changing of language changes the culture. So sometimes I go to a part of the world where people have this really heavy class consciousness. And if someone thinks, oh, Ermi was a big senior devotee and she's elevated and she's, you know, some sort of other entity, not human anymore, and they treat me like that, then if I try to get close to them, they get afraid. And they push me away. No, don't talk to me like that. And this just happened recently. Somebody Skyped me by mistake. you know, and I said, what do you want? Oh, sorry, Mataji, I didn't mean to disturb you. I said, okay, and I gave him the little obeisances icon. And, oh, Mataji, don't do that. Don't do what? What did I do? Oh, I have obeisances. Oh, okay. And I wrote, oh, yeah, you're Indian, I'm sorry. I said, what do you mean by that? Forget it, Hare Krishna. I said, actually, I was offering obeisances to your guru through you. Oh, okay, very good. So sometimes I have people who get this awe and reverence thing with me that I can't be authentic with them. They just don't know what I want. As soon as I try, they put up a wall. So that's not, we don't want to do that to Krishna. You know, if Krishna tries to establish an authentic relationship with us, no, you're too high. I'm too low. I'm too fallen. I'm Shraddha. You know, I have to, what does it say? I've got to be a Bhava, and I'm not, so go away. I mean, Krishna said he's crying, actually. He's sad. When you've asked to see me, you want to see me. I show you myself. I really want to have a deep, authentic relationship with you, and we're pushing you. That's that. So don't worry. As you relate more and more with Krishna, I'll tell you what the people who do have to worry. People who have to be concerned about this are people who they're not in the process. They don't have any training. You know, they're going to have some mental concoction idea of Krishna. For those people, we say just hear, don't try to think about it, because they can't think about Krishna. They think about Krishna and they'll think, who knows what, crazy. So for someone who hasn't been trained, we don't necessarily explain higher things. You give them something like that. As long as you're not going to come from something. Maybe 2 minutes. Yes, but more.
So if we got all our rooms, just like down the rest, I can say you really got to get filed with all our rooms. Relationship has to be reviewed with intimacy. So we're taught to worship the deity as Lakshman and Ram.
He threw off his earring again. This morning Mahaprabhu had one of his earrings off, Radharani had one of her earrings off, and Govardhanadari had one of his earrings off, and now Govardhanadari's earrings off. Anyway, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the deities, so I'm giving the deities.
Could you, Nashas do?
Well, that's how you have to start. 99% of the time, you can't go up to somebody who you don't know and immediately be a buddy-buddy. You have to start with some formality. And especially if you've offended Krishna. So if you've offended someone, even someone very near and dear to you, basically we've been having a love affair with Maya for a long time. We've been cheating on Krishna with Maya. You know, if you were cheating on your wife, if you had 20 other girlfriends and you're cheating on your wife, you can't just come back into your house and be close again immediately. You just can't. She wouldn't let you. You'd have to be formal at first. You have to. You first have to send a card and send some flowers. You might have to have somebody else deliver them for you because she might not even want to talk to you. Because I don't even want to hear that guy's name. You know, you might have to go through a lot of intermediaries. Now, at a certain point, you'd reestablish your intimate relationship, but probably not immediately. So, you know, it's not that a woman wants her husband to have a formal relationship with her. That's not pleasing. But if you've offended her, you may have to start with her. So we've offended Krishna previously for a very, 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 very long time. So we have to start with some formality. You can't just jump to intimacy. Generally, I mean, there might be some rare devotee who immediately comes to prema in 2 moments, but generally that doesn't happen. And who has to be the one to bring us towards more intimacy? Krishna. So you were talking about Krishna revealing. So we start off formal, and as Krishna starts becoming more and more intimate with us, we should respond to that. But we can't force that. If we try to force intimacy on Krishna, that's the Hajjus. But if we don't respond to Krishna trying to ask for some intimacy from us, that's gross idiocy. You know, so I'm begging for my intimate relationship back, but it's got to be the other party who initiates it. It must be. I don't have the right to issue. I've lost my, I mean, I have that right in a sense, but I've lost it. I blew it. I messed up. So I've got to be invited back in. I can sit by the door. You know, I can sit outside the door with my flowers. But I've got to, you know, he's got to be the one to open the door. But when he does open the door, respond. To whatever, if Krishna opens the door a millimeter, respond. So that's pretty much how it works. But no, we can't immediately go to intimacy. We know that that's what Krishna wants from us. But he wants us, because intimacy, there's a high level of trust. Krishna wants to know that we're trustworthy. And are we trustworthy? Do we still go for it with Maya? I mean, what to say? She sees us out flirting the next week. So we go to Krishna. Krishna, I'm going to surrender you. I'm just going to love you. And then, look at that. Is that okay? All right, we do need to end now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to Guru Govardhan. And all of the residents here.